Hey everybody, I'm here today with Scott Guthrie, and I have never felt shorter or more unaccomplished in my life. I walk into his office, and some people at Microsoft have these. He has, like, this entire pyramid of cubes with his name on it, noting things that he's accomplished. I've been working at this company for 3 years. You know how many cubes I have? Zero. And how long have you been here, Scott?
Almost 10 years.
10 years, and he has... I can't count, which is probably why I don't have any of those cubes, but he has over 10 cubes. What are these things? I feel like I'm never going to know. I'm not going to get one, you know?
Those are actually patent cubes.
Patent cubes?
Yeah.
So you filed patents, this many?
Yeah.
That's just those. Okay, so, and then you have all these plaques back. Oh, I see. Now that I see United States patent written on everything. Okay, so Scott Guthrie, patent meister extraordinaire. Okay. Yeah, I was hoping those were just, like, you know, awards for, like, you know, punctuality or something, but they're not. Yeah, okay, you are much smarter than I am. Okay, so let's continue. All right, so here today to talk to you because Mix 07 is coming up.
Yep.
And you and Ray Ozzie are going to be doing the keynote.
Yep.
At least that's what I understand.
Yep.
And that's going to be taking place on April 30th, the keynote?
Yeah, so April 30th is when the Mix conference starts, and it goes through May 2nd, and it's basically being held at the Venetian Hotel in Las Vegas. And it's going to be a couple days of just kind of pure web and kind of great content about kind of our next generation web plans. A whole bunch of new products we're coming out with, and it should be a really fun conference.
Okay, so speaking about all the, you know, new products and everything, I mean, WPFE just shipped, right? And
the CTP just shipped.
Okay, the CTP just shipped. And I mean, what's going on? What's happened since that's happened? I mean, I would imagine it's been a little crazy.
This year, 2007 is going to be a pretty fun year from a web development perspective, in the sense of we have a lot of products coming out, and so, you know, some of them that are coming out are IS7, which is our new web server. We shipped the client version of that with Vista. The IS7 server release will come out later in 2007. That's a major, major upgrade to our web server stack. And you can learn more about it at www.is.net. And actually check out some free online videos. Then we have our Orcus release of Visual Studio at ASP.net. That's a major release in terms of new functionality coming out with our much richer HTML web designer, which much richer CSS standards-based support within that. You're going to see our new link data access support coming out, which just sort of dramatically reduces the amount of code you need to write for data access and provides a really nice object relational mapper for doing data access.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing a whole bunch of work in the Orcus release as part of our kind of ASP.NET Ajax or Atlas capability that will be rolled in. And then you're seeing a lot richer tool support for debugging JavaScript and client-side IntelliSense of JavaScript. Just sort of much richer support inside Visual Studio for doing IntelliSense with both server-side, obviously, but also the client-side. So that's a whole bunch of stuff that's coming out. And then a major big thing that we're going to be talking about at Mix is also talking about our new richer client support for this thing called WPFE, which is basically a cross-browser, cross-platform runtime that runs in the browser of a client and lets you go ahead and kind of build much richer and more dynamic web experiences. And so you can incorporate vector graphics, you can incorporate video, you can incorporate animation, and you can incorporate controls, so it can be richer controls like a data grid or a calendar control, all running client side and running in this really rich graphic experience. And the nice thing is it works inside Firefox, it works inside Safari on a Mac, it works inside obviously IE, and so you can get kind of a ubiquitous web experience, but also kind of go even further than what's capable today with pure HTML.
Is there going to be, I've had a chance to interview you, and everybody's worked on, you know, the whole WPF and WPFE line,
yep,
of, you know, everything, and I've seen a lot of the tools, but is there going to be a separate tool for WPFE, or is it going to be done by hand, or is it going to be like a subset? I mean, like, what's the story exactly, and like, what can you tell me?
Yeah. Both WPF and WPFE use a file format we call XAML, which is an XML format for basically defining your UI. And you can define controls, you can define what we call visual elements, or things like circles and graphs and paths and other vector graphics. And you can define, you know, data mining templates, a whole bunch of other things. And you can define all in XML and you can code against it. So it really enables kind of much cleaner code content separation. And from a tool perspective, we'll support targeting XAML with both Visual Studio. And so we have a whole bunch of features coming, or support coming out in the Orcus release of Visual Studio, mm-hmm. Specifically to target XAML and WPF. And so we have, you know, WYSIWYG Designer, you can drag and drop, you know, IntelliSense, Split View, you know, very nice experience. And that's sort of focused at developers. And so, you know, any version of Visual Studio, including Express Editions, will have that support. Then we're also coming out with this new line of products we call Expression. And that's aimed more at designers. And there's a product called Expression Blend, which is specifically targeting both WPF and WPFE. That gives you also a WYSIWYG experience, but it's more attuned towards a designer. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, rather than kind of a toolbox, there's more of a palette. And, you know, it feels more kind of designer-friendly. And the cool thing, though, is that you can use the files in either version of the tool. And so you can start off, for example, with Visual Studio, design your UI kind of as a developer. It might be rough, or it can be polished. Write your code. And then basically a designer could just go ahead and open that project directly inside Expression and refine it.
I call that de-uglification.
Yeah, exactly.
The de-uglifying
process. Or you can actually start with Expression, and you can actually start building your project, and the designer can go ahead and lay out everything nicely. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually just right-click inside Expression and say, edit with Visual Studio. Hmm. And up it pops inside Visual Studio. You can wire up your code behind event handlers and go to town on that.
Nice.
And so it's a really nice designer-developer workflow.
So then WPFE then, I mean, first off, this is the first time I've actually heard anybody confirm that it was going to run in Safari. You know,
okay,
which is kind of neat. I always wondered about that, you know, just because when I use the Mac, that's my favorite browser on the Mac, you know. I don't know why, it just is. It's like nice, simple, clean. But,
it's the default browser, too, which helps.
So it's going to exist as like a client-side runtime then? And
today it's about a 1 meg download, 1.1 meg download with the December CDP. And it's a one-time download, so it's you know, the first time you hit a page that has WPF e-content, typically, you know, we'll have an on-demand where we can pull it down automatically, or if you want to, you could pop up a message and say, click here to download it. Mm-hmm. And the user would download it from Microsoft. And then once it's installed on the machine, any site you go to on the internet that uses WPF e-content will just run. There's no prompts, there's no security privilege, you know, things. You know, they'll just work. And basically, you can take over the entire frame of a site, or you can embed WPFE content just for regions of a page. And so on Channel 9, for example, you could have the videos be served through WPFE. Mm-hmm. And you could skin the player, mm-hmm. you know, however you wanted to. There's some cool samples actually on the Channel 9 site today on that. And, and the great thing is from an end-user experience, it really lets you kind of incorporate animation, richer graphics, video, and just sort of UI effects that you can't do in HTML.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't replace HTML. So, you know, our expectation is you use this in addition to HTML. Mm-hmm. But you can use this for things that HTML doesn't lend itself as well towards, and you can use HTML for other parts of your site that, you know, might lend itself better than XAML. And the cool thing about WPFE, which differentiates it from things like Java or Flash, is when you write JavaScript against it, you can write the JavaScript against both the HTML and against XAML elements in a single unified way. Mm-hmm. And so it lends itself much better to AJAX. And you can start to, there's a whole bunch of cool samples that people put out lately that actually blend ASP.NET AJAX with WPFE. Mm-hmm. And use ASP.NET AJAX for network callbacks, grabbing data, and then binding it in WPFE. And over time, we'll also support a managed programming language framework against WPFE as well.
Okay.
So in addition to using JavaScript, you'll be able to use C#.
You mean even for the other platforms?
Yeah, even for Safari and the Mac. So, yeah.
All right, I did not know that.
Well, we'll show more of that in the mix.
Okay. Sorry, sometimes I hear things in these interviews that kind of take me by surprise.
It's not currently supported in the December CDP, but that is something.
But it'll be there. Okay, that's very cool. So somebody could, with WPFE and the CDP form, for example, like, do some nice content for a site. Could they do, like, a little, like, a, you know, intro presentation thing for their site?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can do animations, you can do... You know, I just, over the weekend, was looking at someone's sample as a Sudoku game.
Oh, okay.
everything visual and flies around and kind of cool looking. So there's a whole bunch of pretty cool experiences that you can do with it. The nice thing is that WPFE gives you a really rich kind of graphics framework that you can program against. And so you can do it both through code, but you can also do it declaratively. And so, a lot of the type of visuals that you can do, you can just start with a text editor and say, well, I want to have a canvas, and I want to, do a rectangle, and I want to do an opacity of 30%, and I want to have a nice blend underneath it. And then, when it first loads, let's have, it explode or do something silly. Let's have a video playing, rotating in the background. And you can express that in only a couple lines of XML markup. And then you can optionally go ahead and write event handlers against it and, make it even more dynamic. So it's fairly easy to get started with, and it's fairly lightweight, and, you can do some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I got to actually sit and watch Adam Kinney, who does a lot of the coding for Channel 9 and on 10, and I got to watch as he put together the video player. He was working some late nights, and I was hanging out here too, and I just watched him go from the whiteboard, with this idea of this transforming player to, the next morning he had pretty much, a functional, working version of it, and he had just learned WPF, and WPFE. Yeah. He had just picked it up, so I was actually very impressed with that.
One interesting thing about WPFE today is the markup format, the XAML file, is in clear text. Mm-hmm. And we've debated, actually, do we have an option to obfuscate or not the actual XAML markup.
So you can do BAML?
It doesn't use BAML, but in theory we could, do something to make it a little bit less visible if we wanted to. But the cool thing, that by having it in clear text the way it is today, is really easy to share samples. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's markup means it's also really easy to, frankly, blog a sample.
Yeah.
Where you can sort of say, oh, here's this cool snippet I did for this effect. And it's, even though it's good documentation, but it's not like we have tons of books out. Mm-hmm. Just since the beginning of December, it's literally 30 days since. Mm-hmm. There's been a heck of a lot of really cool apps that people that know nothing about WPF or nothing about XAML have actually been able to build. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty exciting for me anyways, to sort of see this sort of viral kind of, playing around with it and trying it out and doing cool stuff.
Has that been mostly spread out among, blogs, or is there one place where people are, sort of putting a lot of their WPF projects?
There's a couple of really popular blogs. I mean, one's called the WPF blog. Mm-hmm. Michael Harsh has a really good blog on MSDN, so if you go to blogs.msdn.com/mharsh, he's got a lot of good samples. A lot of people, you found it through Channel 9. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of other good sites to check out, and there's a really good set of quick start samples that are available that we actually refreshed since WPFE came out.
Okay.
It's been updated the last 2 weeks, and just sort of start with, open up Notepad, type this in, hit save, type this in, hit save, run it, it works. Now let's add transparency, let's add animation, let's add, it just sort of walks you through step by step, and it ends up being, when you think about animation and graphics being done in Notepad, it's surprisingly approachable today.
Yeah.
And obviously when we have tool support, both designer and development tool support, and debugging and IntelliSense and all the other things that you want, and we will have, I think you're going to see a lot of adoption.
Cool. No, that's very cool. So I'm wondering about, you mentioned around the very beginning of this, there's going to be a WPFE sort of, equivalent of, you're going to get a nice grid for your data and everything. Mm-hmm. How does that work? I mean, how are the calls made? How does everything hook up? Let's say we've got that grid, mm-hmm. running on Safari, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? I'm just curious, behind the scenes.
Well, it's one of the interesting things, if you look at WPF from an architecture standpoint, one of the things that they did was it's composite UI framework,
mm-hmm.
which means that one of the things it means is the framework itself is actually drawing all the pixels on the screen. And so if you look at something like Windows Forms or VB 6 or other UI frameworks out there, oftentimes what they do is basically they call into Windows, and so when you do a button, you get a Windows button.
Yeah.
When you're using WPF and WPFE, you're getting basically whatever WPF or WPFE wants to draw on the screen to represent that button. And And one of the things that means is that you can stylize it and customize it in a really rich way.
Hmm.
And a lot of the core low layers of WPFE and WPF are basically kind of this graphics engine that lets you go ahead and actually, you know, draw the pixels necessary to make that happen. And so if you look at the WPFE CTP that's out today, a lot of the support that's there is for the visual layer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the graphics primitives necessary to go ahead and you know, draw anything to the screen. And so what you'll see over the next couple months is, you know, you'll start to see the controls layer come to life.
Yeah.
And so when you come up with a button, you know, the way the button's internally built is it basically uses that same set of visual layers that people can use today with animation to basically say, you know, okay, add an oval, you know, shade it here, add a border, you know, add this transparency, make it kind of curved and rounded with a nice gradient. And when someone clicks on it, modify, you know, do an animation where it goes in and it comes back out. And, voila, you have the UI of a button.
Nice.
You know, and so these are kind of this visual layer is kind of the building blocks that you can build much richer kind of support on top of.
So how would you perform the actual data binding in a WPFE app? Like, you know, if you're running with that, you know, again, I'll just keep using Safari as an example,
yeah.
You know. And you've got that grid up, or you've got, you know, a text box up or whatever, and you want a data bind. I mean, how does that work? Really?
Well, I mean, one of the cool things that WPFE and WPF and other, you know, even like, say, like a Java applet from way back when, or you know, Flash also has this capability, where because you basically own the graphics that are being displayed, once you build an app using a runtime like that, you can get good fidelity on all the different platforms you run on top of.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it's you know, you own the pixels on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the challenge with a lot of frameworks in the past, you know, whether it's an OCX ActiveX control or a Java applet, is the graphics engine wasn't rich enough that, you know, it's great, you get a button and it's consistent across all these different browsers, but it looks pretty boring and it doesn't blended nicely with the HTML dynamic content that were, you know, colors and stuff that we expect today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's one of the reasons why with WPFE we spent so much time on the graphics engine, is to have a really killer high-performance graphics engine that's easy to program, because then you can actually get consistent behavior, but also get something that looks attractive.
Sure.
And so, you know, the way something like data binding or any UI element, whether it's a grid or whether it's a calendar or whether it's a you know, accordion, or whether it's a rotating spinner, you know, you name it. You know, from a program perspective, when you're building your app, you don't know what's running on Safari, you don't know what's running on Firefox or IE. You can basically program it consistently, and the graphics engine makes sure you get a consistent result.
So you're just still working with, like, the context, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
nice. So, which is nice. And it also means that from a control developer's perspective, it dramatically simplifies. Yeah. And you know, we've seen things with, you know, our ASP.NET Ajax project where, you know, and this is, you know, you can talk to anyone doing Ajax, they'll tell you the first 80% of the project takes about 10% of the time. And it's that last 20% that takes the remainder 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because of timing issues between browsers, incompatibilities, slightly different way scripting engines handle this or that. And, you know, and so you know, that's one benefit of something like WPFE, is it does give you much more consistency, and it gives you a little bit more of a solid foundation to build on top of. And again, it doesn't replace HTML.
Right.
There's cases where HTML is better, but for certain things in your app where you feel like, gosh, I'm kind of fighting HTML, or I'm trying to make, you know, something that really wasn't designed to do my scenario work. You know, for example, like a charting or something like that. You could do it with tables with CSS, and you know, you'll spend a lot of time doing it. You know, the nice thing with WPFE is you can just say, you know, draw a rectangle, shade it with this gradient, you're done.
As a geek, I actually started to kind of build a pie chart in my head. You know, using HTML, and I sort of go a little crazy.
Yeah.
It only took about 2 seconds for me to get frustrated.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, you can make a basic pie chart work.
Yeah,
it's what happens when you have, you know.
Marketing system with shadowing.
Or I want to have a hover over when I click on it. And, oh boy, you know, that's when, you know, there's certain constructs that just aren't in HTML or aren't consistently implemented across all the browsers. that can make that a nightmare. And, you know, something like WPFE can help tremendously.
Yeah, before Microsoft, I was an independent, and I've been through that so many times. I just can't help but look back and laugh, you know, about finishing or thinking I'd finished a project, you know, and it was always something like, well, what if we just wanted to change that to blue? And I'm like,
And, you know, if you go to any Ajax conference, and we've been presenting at a lot of Ajax conferences, and you ask someone, you know, or you mention, like, hey, isn't Ajax really easy to debug? Or, you know, as we know, there aren't any differences. You know, you always hear the sort of nervous, you know, chuckling from the audience where everyone's like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean, you know. You know, the ubiquity aspect is, you know, one of the hugely compelling reasons why, you know, people still do it with HTML, you know, in certain cases where even it's not designed for it. And one of the things we're trying to do with WPFE is have that ubiquity so it does run on all the platforms. You don't have to worry about, well, if I do it this way, I'm locked into only running on Windows. But at the same time, give you much better developer experience, and at the end result, also a much better user experience, and really enable things that just make people go, wow, this is cool.
So with the Ajax client-side libraries, could you combine those with WPFE to run against a dynamic, you know, web background that isn't ASP.NET?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different combinations you can use. So you could absolutely use the... So with ASP.NET Ajax, we basically have a server piece, as well as the thing we call the Microsoft Ajax library. And that's a client-side JavaScript thing. And that works with anything. So that works with PHP. You can make it work with Java, Ruby, you know, what you name it. You can take our client-side JavaScript and make it work. And that can absolutely be used with WPFE. And so, well, I think we even have some talks at Mix that will show, for example, like using WPFE against, like, a PHP background or back engine.
So Scott Guthrie, are you going to talk about?
I won't be doing that talk, but... there's one for my team. And that's definitely something that we definitely want to embrace. And we'll also will support using WPFE with other Ajax frameworks. So, you know, Dojo or you know, Prototype or, you know, any of those other ones, they work with WPFE as well. It's, WPFE supports just a regular JavaScript engine. It's not wedded to any specific Ajax implementation.
Nice.
So, you know, yeah, if you know an Ajax framework already, you love it, great. Add WPFE into your palette, and you can use it for scenarios where it makes sense. The other thing about WPFE is it lets you play video. And it's not just like a regular, you know, rectangular video player. You can take a video surface and you can rotate it. You can add, you know, subtitles if you want to do dynamically. You could add dynamic content into the mix. You can skin the player. And the videos can basically be served one of two ways. One is you can basically just download any WMV video off of any web server. It doesn't have to be an IIS web server. It could be an Apache web server running on Linux. You know, it could be basically from anywhere. It does not require any software on the server. It's just standard HTTP GET, download the video, we play it. And we can do progressive streaming, so we can start playing it even before the entire video downloads. And then we also support live streaming or broadcasting. And that's not in the current CTP, but we will be showing that at Mix, where you can go ahead and skip ahead, and you can do kind of conference events or things like that.
Good.
So it's you know, integrates nicely into existing infrastructure. Doesn't require a tool or anything. You know, it's obviously completely free.
Is there any possibility? I mean, can't help but spring to mind. I mean, you're talking about eventually having the capability to have, you know, to be able to compile it on your C# or whatever and have it, you know, running out there on that Mac, you know, with you know, Safari and everything. Is there any possibility of eventually having a framework that runs outside of the browser, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that we're looking at, is kind of what we call the in-browser experience and then kind of the out-of-browser experience. And so that's something we'll talk more about at Mix.
And that's so secret right now? Because I don't mean to bring up anything that's secret.
It's something that we haven't talked about publicly yet. But that's certainly scenarios that we're thinking about.
Do I have to get that out of the video? Is this like the first time anybody's heard it?
Probably,
exclusive.
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, and one of the nice things about WPFE is it is a subset of our full-blown WPF programming model. And so, you know, WPF gives you, obviously will give you more the WPFE in terms of capabilities. And so there are, you know, whether it's 3D or more advanced hardware acceleration, mm-hmm. or you know, there's scenarios in terms of text, which are you know, really interesting in terms of going far beyond what you can do with you know, HTML or even PDF today in terms of text flow and dynamic layout, mm-hmm. things like that. And so, you know, those types of apps, you can start with it. You'll be able to start with a WPFE app, you know, build a really great experience. And if you want to go even further and you know, embed it inside Office or something like that, you can use the full blown WPF to do that.
Okay.
And you know, I think we hopefully will give you kind of a nice developer designer continuum where, you know, you can run it anywhere, or you can also go ahead and really push the boundaries of the machine and use the full .NET framework against it.
Nice. So do you want to talk about IS7 at all?
Or? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, so IS7, for people who haven't checked it out, is a really major upgrade of our web server stack. It's probably the most significant upgrade we've ever done, mm-hmm. In terms of architectural and in terms of the feature set that we're kind of enabling. A couple of big things that we've done with IIS with this release include, we're basically componentizing IIS. So in the past, IIS has been a very kind of monolithic web server where there's a few binaries and they're kind of all designed to be written by us and shipped by us. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to go towards is a much more modular design where the web server itself now is about 47 binaries and they're implemented what we call modules. And modules have a public interface that you can write to with both native as well as managed code. So you can write a module in C# or VB, or you can write it in C++. And you can basically plug in a module into the web server and either override or customize any of the behavior within it. So if you want to implement your own security protocol, you can write it in VB or C#, plug it into the web server, and now there's a new security protocol that IIS supports. If you want to do URL rewriting, you can plug in a URL rewriting module. If you want to do, you know, advanced caching, you can write your own caching module. And you can also then remove modules from the web server. And basically the way our setup works within Windows is you can basically check or uncheck what modules are installed on the system. And if you're not using, for example, CGI, which most people aren't anymore, we don't ever even physically install the module on the disk. And that way, from an attack, you know, security perspective, you don't have to worry about some obscure CGI issue in your server. It also means that if a CGI patch comes out, you never even have to install the patch because you don't have it installed on your system. Mm-hmm. So it really helps with overall TCO maintenance. Mm. But from a developer perspective, it also just means you can now customize and tune the server and do things with it that you just, you know, could never do before.
Yeah.
And, you know, URL rewriting is something that a lot of people want much more control over what their URLs look like. You now have that ability. You know, if you want to use forms authentication for, say, PHP or classic ASP content with ASP.NET, you can now do that.
Sure.
Because it's just a module. You can plug in. The module works not just for ASP.NET content. It works for all content on the server.
Okay.
So anyways, that's one of the big things that we're doing, which just provides lots of extensibility. Another big thing we're doing with IS7 is going to a model we call kind of a distributed configuration model. And so if you know ASP.NET today, it's basically the same config model as ASP.NET, where you have web.config files. And the web.config files can live in any directory on the system. And the benefit there is that means that you can now just sort of FTP up your app, and your configuration goes with it. And so now all the IIS settings for, you know, mind mapping or URL rewriting or authentication or what you name it, can now basically, all the IIS settings can be set inside the web.config file.
Mm.
And they're now merged, you know, they're in the same file as ASP.NET, and they're now rationalized cleanly across them. Yeah, so for hosting scenarios, or even if you're just an enterprise developer and you want to go deploy an app on another box,
making it much easier.
You know, it makes it much, much easier. And you know, and ultimately more scalable as well. You know, there's a new admin tool, which is kind of provides a much cleaner user experience on top of all the ASP.NET and IIS settings out there. Lets you manage users and roles remotely. You know, lots of cool features there. The cool thing about the admin tool also is it's built actually using Windows Forms, and so it's a managed code admin tool. It also, though, even though it's a client app, it works over HTTP. And so you can actually, from your desktop box in your office or at home, go ahead and actually connect to a server that's running in a hosted environment, you know, across the internet. And actually you can manage all of your settings.
It's just files.
Yeah. Which means it's very nice from a delegate administration really perspective. Nice, yeah.
Or for a guy who has a $19.95 a month, you know, shared hosting.
Exactly. You go for the $9.99 a month and still remotely manage it.
That's really cool.
And then there's a whole bunch of work that we're doing with new security features, new health monitoring features. There's a cool feature we call failed request event buffering, or FREB. And basically the way it works is you can enable it, and anytime you run a request, we'll actually kind of keep track of how the request is doing and log a whole bunch of stuff. We'll keep that log in memory. And if the request completes successfully, we'll throw it away. But if a failure occurs, we'll automatically save kind of the stack trace, if you will, of that request, along with a whole bunch of tracing diagnostic information automatically into a file.
Nice.
So you can just go ahead and check it out and see what happened later. So
it makes me wonder, I mean, how much of the previous code base, for IIS still exists. I mean, how much of it was rewritten?
A lot was rewritten. I mean, the core HTTP processing engine and, the way we authentication, things like that, all that code we were able to reuse. The big thing we did was we kind of modularized it, though. Mm-hmm. And so instead of being kind of in one giant state machine, we kind of pulled apart the state machine into kind of a nice pipeline model. Mm-hmm. And we took all that code and basically put them as modules in the pipeline.
So it was more of a refactoring than a rewrite?
Of the core engine, it was more a refactoring. For the config system and the admin tool, that was basically brand new code base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. And then finally, I think you wanted to talk about Orcus a little bit. Did you want to say anything specific?
So one of the things that you're going to see coming out, probably the first big CTP will be in February, sort of the February CTP, and you'll see a beta coming out a little bit later on in the spring. Of the VS Orcus release and the .NET Framework Orcus release. And so from a web development standpoint, you're going to see tons of features show up in that. One of the big ones is a much improved HTML designer experience for Visual Studio. We're actually taking the same WYSIWYG designer that's in the Expression Web Designer product and actually adding it into Visual Studio.
Okay.
So you get split view editing, you get much richer CSS support. Moving between HTML source view and design view now is lightning fast. Just sort of much richer standards based support with CSS. Really major improvement there.
So the Expression Web bits themselves are actually going to be running in Visual Studio?
Have a shared component. So basically it's more the WYSIWYG designer layout. Mm. So if you're typing in a design surface, that's the same binary.
And the CSS editor as well.
They still have a separate shell, and they're kind of, the features sort of are designed, one for a developer, one for more a designer. But a lot of the, we're able to reuse a lot of the architecture.
Thanks.
Across the two. And then you'll see kind of much richer JavaScript support. So again, IntelliSense for any client-side JavaScript, much better JavaScript debugging support. So if you're writing Ajax, it makes it much, much easier in order to figure out what's going wrong when you're writing your code, and as well as kind of learn, what's the API look like. You can, IntelliSense is a great help documentation model. And then I think the biggest thing actually coming out of Orcus from a web developer standpoint in particular, is this new thing we're calling Link, which is kind of a new way to do data access and kind of work with data, whether it's XML, whether it's relational data in a database, or any other type of data. And Link really provides kind of a much cleaner way to interact with data and avoids you having to actually write a whole bunch of SQL statements in your code. Mm-hmm. You can get it down to kind of one line, and it handles things like validation. It handles things like, say, for example, you have orders and order items, and you want to have a relationship between them, and you want to traverse the relationship within a page, fairly common scenario. Link has much cleaner support for handling all those types of things. Mm-hmm. So I think from a developer perspective, that's going to provide just a tremendous amount of productivity.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we're just about out, and there's some things. Okay, this is the first time I've gotten to interview you face-to-face.
Okay.
Did interview you on .NET Rocks a long time ago.
Okay, yeah.
But I wasn't in control of that interview.
Okay.
I want to know, right? So, I mean, I'm sitting, in here with you, Scott Guthrie. I mean, I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but you're rather well-known, all right? Somewhat legendary, right? I mean, like, a lot of us, have learned from, your writing and, just your brain. I mean, like, just, you know, doing our jobs based on the things you've created and what you've taught us, right? And I want to know, I mean, just, I want to know, like, what it's like to, you know, have all these things and get to do stuff with, like, Ray Ozzie and everything. I mean, like, do you ever, like, talk to, you know, just, like, hang out with, you know, I mean, what's your life like? I mean, what do you do?
Well, it's not as exciting as it might sound.
Do you have your own parking spot?
No, okay, I definitely good. Don't have my own parking spot. I actually have a car tote.
Did you park in one of the carpool spots or something?
No, no. It turns out they actually don't tell you if you park in carpool. They just give you a little ticket. But if you, we have these little color-coded parking badges.
Oh, yeah.
And they change the color, like, every 6 months for whatever reason. And so I had the blue one, and it should have been red, or I had the... You know, and it was like a week old too, and I was here until like midnight, and I was coming down, and I had like this big box of something I was taking home. And I was like, oh, where's my car? I must be on a different floor. We had like four floors of parking in my building, and so it took me after 35 minutes of like wandering around the different floors, going, maybe it's around this corner. And where did I park? And finally, I realized either my car was stolen or towed, and turned out to be towed.
That's actually really fit. Like, the hardest working guy in the whole building comes down to find his car gone, you know?
I was not in a good mood. Okay. But anyway, I know, so definitely don't have my own car.
It makes me feel a little better. That's good. But, I mean, do you ever get to sit in, you know, like, meetings with, like, you know, Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I probably have, like, one of those meetings... I don't know, maybe once a month or so.
Once a month?
Or every other month. I mean, maybe one with Bill this month, or one with Steve 2 months ago. So they're fun. I mean, they're...
What do you guys do? I mean, like, I want to know. This is, it's like so mysterious, you know? Because I mean, I'm so low in the chain of command, you know? And I mean, you have a lot of cubes, and I just want to know. And I think people would love to know, too. Just like, what goes on, you know?
Well, I think one of the things that a lot of people... Yeah, I think one of the things that's really nice about Steve and Bill and Ray and I think a lot of people at Microsoft is, you know, they're fairly, you know, normal guys. And so, you know, you might run into Bill in line at McDonald's in Bellevue. Or you might, you know, he might be in front of you in a movie theater. You know, and there's lots of stories that people have, you know, run into where, you know, he's in front of them in the Safeway.
Like, with a cart, just, like, going around, like, Bisquick and then, like, you know, milk and...
I wasn't in the same way, but I know someone who ran into it. Yeah, I mean, they're regular real people. And they're those guys in particular are really smart people, and so, it can be a lot of fun to have conversations because they are wickedly smart.
Really? So I've heard that, actually. I've heard about some of the conversations and how, like, you know, just say, yeah, you know, I thought I, you know, was just going to walk in there and it was going to be easy, and they just found, like, this hole in my plan, and, you know, and they had, you know, 2.34 seconds, you know, and, you know, they nailed it in one sentence, and, yeah, you know, I guess they really, really know their stuff. So I was just always curious about what those meetings are like, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely... Yeah, you need to be on your toes, and you need to make sure you're pretty prepared. But they can also be really good in terms of getting feedback and in terms of brainstorming, and, you know, they tend to get stuff pretty quick.
And they get involved with the, like, process of creation and everything, and...
It depends on the product, and it depends on kind of, you know, exactly how, you know, it works and what level of engagement. But, you know, they'll give you feedback in terms of, you know, I think one of the things that Bill and Ray and Steve bring is, you know, this sort of broad perspective on all the things that are going on in the company. And so, you know, they'll say, hey, have you talked to so-and-so about this? Because, you know, I think these, you know, what you're working on and what they're working on, you know, are fairly related.
Okay, so they've got, like, a very high-level view of everything, and they just know kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, they can point.
Yeah, and
they're almost like human packet wrappers, like, you know, Scott, go talk to...
Cool. And I think, you know, with technology at any level, whether it's on my team, whether it's, I think people working with technology out there, whether it's with Microsoft products or other products, you know, oftentimes it's hard to see sometimes the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, there's all these great APIs, what do I build with them? And I think, you know, one of the reasons why I think, Bill and Steve and Ray have been so successful is, you know, they can see the forest for the trees, and they do a very good job of kind of articulating, you know, here are all the pieces we need to build and how they interact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times they're just giving feedback and saying, hey, make sure you talk to this person or that person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can help guide kind of things hopefully work together. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, yeah, they're pretty fun meetings.
Cool. And finally, what is your actual, I mean, you do a million different things. What's your actual title?
General manager.
Oh, you're a GM?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so I basically run the Common Language Runtime, the .NET Compact Framework, ASP.NET, Windows Forms, Windows Presentation Foundation, or, you know, so WPF, WPFE, Commerce Server, and then the Visual Studio tools for web development and client development.
Yeah. Sounds pretty easy.
Yeah, it's a little busy, but it's kind of fun.
Do you still get to write code or anything?
Yeah. I don't get to check in, you know, production release. One of the things I try to do is you know, both in my blog and then, mm-hmm. you know, just so that, you know, I can have some influence on the design of the product is, you know, to still make sure I spend an hour or so a day writing code. And, you know, it gives you a much better perspective on how things work and don't work.
Okay, well, I'm more impressed and feeling worse about myself now. Cubes, GMs everything, basically, the company, and writes code. All right, well, all right. Are there any other ways you want to make me feel small?
You have a cooler blog than me, though.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
No, I do.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, I got to say, I mean, that was, okay, that was very, very cool. I mean, everything from, like, getting to learn about, you know, like, all the tech stuff to hearing about your car getting towed. I mean, that was actually really, really cool. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Maybe we'll be able to get you back on here sometime, you know. I mean, you are a Chilline regular, and people do like to know what's going on outside your head, you know. So, So thanks for being on. And
thanks so much for having me. And hopefully see you at Mix. And if you want to go to Mix, which I hope you do, you can learn more about it at the HTTP www.visitmix.com website.
All right. Well, good. Very good. I guess I'm just going to stand up and turn that thing off.
Sounds good. Okay. Bye.